many people focus on, if you just get the management practices right, if you just get the operational systems right, you'll take care of driving performance. And it turns out that not just in the public sector, but in the private sector, between 75 and 90% of all projects, of change projects, fail to meet their original objectives. And one of the reasons for this is the human factor in organizational change is often the neglected component. And so one of the things that participation and collaboration sort of opens up is it enables the human factor to be better addressed if it is in fact attended to.
And how does it do that?
Okay. Well, it two of the key components here are that when people when your staff are both engaged with the mission and engaged with your client base, or in this case, your constituents, it turns out to have unexpectedly powerful results in both motivating them, in helping them work with boundaries instead of within them, and really being champions of change in ways that otherwise they're driven by a top-down set of regulations, directives, and when they have this direct interchange with the client, they often innovate in unexpected and performance-driving ways.
Hmm. Almost like they are able to take, it becomes theirs, they're able to take ownership of some of this stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so they blossom. And that's, in fact, what's at the heart of this study. In a sense, it's really about making the organization fit for humans, both outside and within the organization.
And all of this requires some, you write about internal management shifts. Talk a little bit about how this requires, management-wise, you have to, it's part thinking differently, but it's also acting differently.
Right. Well, it turns out that, the trends affecting organizations as a whole, there are, of course, many things, but two management trends are that, one, a lot of the core activity that the agencies are taking on are no longer within the agency, but between the agency and outside. So it's not just about optimizing how well you're managing within your agency. It's again, about developing those skills to influence people that are your peers over whom you don't have direct control, but you still want to engage, influence, and be influenced by.
Yeah.
And then, of course, so this requires no longer the kind of, we tend to think of the general directing as troops, a top-down kind of a management structure, and it really is much more peer-to-peer. How do you support what is called network leadership?
Well, and the part of your piece that I found so fascinating is I think a lot of people talk about openness, transparency in terms of these broad political terms, in terms of rebuilding trust with the citizen, and mm-hmm. and the. But what you write about is there are some performance advantages that come from openness, from transparency.
Exactly. Yeah. Not as a slogan, but really as an empirically measured, for the hard-nosed operational manager types, there are actual tangible benefits that are otherwise not available from existing practices. These include things like when you engage the public, you get forms of knowledge that otherwise are not inside the institution. An example of this is the patent review process. No matter how smart the patent reviewers are and no matter how much information they have access to, there's always stuff out there in the market that has been emerging that just hasn't been put into a system somewhere. Hmm. And by opening up the patent review process to engage the knowledge of the markets in ways that were not available before, you get better quality decisions on whether or not a patent should be granted. Huh. And so this is an example of knowledge, but it's also possible, for example, a different kind of benefit is engaging new resources. And so, for example, a lot of agencies do a lot of inspection, and it turns out that when you, for example, publish the performance data of the group, let's say you're in the business of overseeing hospitals, and instead of inspecting all the hospitals, you simply publish the performance data of hospitals, you give the public the ability to both use that information for decision support, and you engage the public in the monitoring process of hospitals. And it simply drives the quality of hospital performance much better than if you spent your day inspecting.
I want you to talk a little bit about the Haitian earthquake relief effort. But before you do that, it seems like all this, what we've been talking about, and you write about that there are operational control implications here. Mm-hmm. It really shakes up the cart. And if you're a control freak, it can feel pretty uncomfortable.
Absolutely. Until you discover what's available. And that's why, if you think that the way that you currently do things is the only way to do it, then it's very confronting until you actually have evidence of something else being available that might be better. And so this is really sort of like with technology. You know, many people resisted getting a mobile phone, and when they first start using it, they realize, oh, this opens up for me being reachable, being able to fill up gaps of time that otherwise I was wasting. And so it really is the same kind of discovering a whole new way of managing and engaging that creates new possibilities for your work programs and for, in this case, if you're a manager or if you're an external citizen, for getting involved and making a difference.
And we're talking to Michael Lennon. He is the author of a piece called Towards a High-Performing Open Government. I want you to talk a little bit about this. One of the examples that you use in here is the Haitian earthquake relief effort, mm-hmm. which in many ways was done in a very different way.
Absolutely. So, the traditional way of crisis response would be to set up let's use the example of the Gulf. You know, presumably you have a central authority intervening to respond to control the Gulf. Well, in Haiti, what happened is everybody recognized that there might not be any power authority, and what a group based in Africa, Ushahidi, used a platform for collecting phone requests and different kind of requests that were appearing and made them visible to everybody. And so by making, if you will, requests that were coming invisible on a map to everybody, it meant that everybody who wanted to respond could respond without having to go through a central coordination desk. And what happened is it accelerated the ability of folks to respond to things, and it accelerated the ability for groups that normally don't coordinate to coordinate together. For example, Cuban responders and U.S. responders could both be saying, I'm taking care of this part and that part, even though they had no precedent before for responding. They were using this shared map of requests that were coming in to self-organize on a large, massive scale.
In many ways, this very different way of thinking, it requires that you trust your people, even in ways we always say that we trust our people and that people are important. Mm-hmm. But if this is going to work effectively, if this is going to work as well as it possibly could, you really have to trust your people. You really have to have the best and the brightest. You really have to be able to carry this out in an effective way.
Absolutely. Well, I assert that we all have in us some of the best and the brightest, and that it's merely a matter of helping this come out. And so, in fact, what we're working on is, in fact, what are some of the core skills and practices that anybody can practice, because anybody can engage their network around something that they're passionate about. Anybody can work with boundaries instead of within them, should they feel clarity about what it is there is to address. And anybody can, for example, the third behavior that's critical of leadership is performance recovery. And what this means is, for example, when you do a diet, your willingness to get on with the diet is the easy part. It's when you fail to, when you lose your way, it's recovering and getting back on your diet where there's real sustainability. This is a critical behavior also of leadership. It's not just the initial push. It's recovering and bringing people back to the commitment that they originally had. And whether we're doing it in our diets, whether we're doing it in anything that we care about, our work, our lives, anywhere. These are behaviors that are of people that are powerful, effective, and leaders anywhere in the food chain.